I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th. The Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba. And you're listening to Nostalgia.
We're back.
We're recording again. How long has it been since the last time we recorded episodes together?
Here's the thing. My perception of time lately, yeah. It could have been a day. It could have been an hour. It could have been, yeah. It could have been months.
I think the last time we recorded together was in February.
And so much has happened since then.
No, it wasn't. It was January.
It was January.
January. 2020. Oh my God, so much has happened.
So much has happened.
Yeah.
None of which I can remember.
Literally. I can't remember anything that's happened. All I know is that I moved. And all I do is talk about my move. Everyone's like, what's going on? I'm like, well, I moved.
That's huge. Like, in this city, in Toronto.
In this city. I'm only going to be here for 6 months, though.
And then you're back.
Oh. Oh. Oh my God, I can't tell me.
Oh my God. We're secretive queens.
Well, clearly not.
Oh my God, you know what I went through?
What did you go through?
Okay, so I literally watched It's a Sin on Amazon, the show about the AIDS epidemic. Convinced myself for 2 weeks that I was HIV positive. Truly. Absolutely. Yeah. Hadn't had sex in a year. And obviously, like, the stigma revolving around HIV is something we need to absolutely abolish. Like, it's just awful. Mm-hmm. But that said, I literally am a hypochondriac sometimes. And I think something about this global pandemic made me freak out about it more than usual.
It brings it out of you.
It brings it out. And I literally was just like, truly, like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to tell my parents? And then through YouTube, even through journalism, I was like, even if I was HIV positive, the medication and the resources that are available to me in Toronto, Canada, Yes. We are, like, thank goodness, because in America...
It's different.
It's devastating. It's
different. Like, it's still, like, a deadly thing.
Truly. And, like in the South, it's just, like, they're literally, like, we don't care. Pay, exactly. Unless you want to pay, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And anything. We're ASAP Science today.
Who are you? You're Greg and I'm Mitch.
That is really accurate.
I feel like that's how it works.
Oh my god. I learned so much science from them. It's actually scary.
Me too. I like actually stop and watch their videos.
I do, but they fill me with dread sometimes because they're just
sometimes you know what filled me with dread today? I came across one of their videos and it said that sperm counts are going down.
And people penises are getting smaller.
Getting smaller.
Penises are getting smaller. Okay, our guest ears perked like meerkats. They're literally truly
they're out of touch.
This is bad news. Anyone with
it's bad news.
And it's so funny because it's to me, and again, this is just like one small sliver of the world, but when I think of like Grecian statue culture, those penises were small.
They were pretty small.
Those penises were really small.
Well, maybe they were growers.
And also, I think someone told me, like an art history person told me that even if your penis was big, they would make it smaller in the statue because that was more like in vogue. It was more chic to have a small penis.
It's more chic to well, you know what? There's this statue, I think it's in Senegal, and they erected it after their independence. But it's a black couple, like to signify like unity and beautiful. Like the black family. It's a black woman and a black man holding a baby, and the dude has it like they did not go the chic way. They just gave him the biggest dick
in
the entire world. And then Marissa, who's gonna be on the podcast, yes. They told me they just showed me this picture of them sitting like standing next to that statue when they were like 10, 11, because their mom was like, look, this is like our history, of course. Like, this is black history, and they were just like, "That's a huge dick." Like, I don't see anything but this huge dong.
How big was it? Like past the knee?
It was too big. It didn't make any sense. It made me angry, honestly. When I saw it.
There is something I will say about a dick that's so big that is kind of like it can be kind of like, oh my god.
It's like that bit in Broad City where
yes, that basketball what's her player. Name
is yes is hooking up with Chris, is it Humphreys, I think, yeah, and it's like she's like, I'm not doing anything with that dick, so they just like do like yoga and like baking. Yeah,
like, she's like riding him like a pony. Yeah,
like
a horse.
Oh my God.
I would if so I came stupid. Into contact with a huge D, I would kind of be like, I would want to like hold it. But it would be more like if you see someone's like oh, like this is like an award I want, you kind of like want to you go like kind of I'd hold it with both my hands kind of like a baby, but it wouldn't be it wouldn't be sexual.
I think I'd leave the room. I've cradle it. Our guest is saying cradle the dick.
You nurse it. This is so dick. We're so gross.
We're so disgusting. It's been a whole year.
I know.
Oh no, longer than that. It's been a long
time. I want listeners to know that I look gross too. Like my hair is
you're looking very good, Ben.
Really?
You look like that one comedian that I said that you look like.
Oh, thank you. I remember I said thank you to that.
And I remember you said that you wanted to fuck that comedian. I was like, you look exactly like him. Are you sick?
I know. It is sick. That's the part of, that's like the white gay in me that's like, fucks a duplicate of themselves.
Oh my God. I mean? So many of my gay friends have partners who look just like them.
I know. I will say, I've seen it out there, and I've had friends who have gone through that phase, but I haven't seen it in a while. And I'm like, thank goodness. Because it is, I get their names confused.
Well, I developed a crush on this girl, and then I realized we look exactly alike. I was like, I can't do that. That's so weird.
Not to reference another Broad City episode, but it's like the episode where Alana sees Aaliyah Shawkat or whatever at a party, they like have a fling, but it's just because they look like each other.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Aaliyah Shawkat is so hot. I started watching Search Party. She's so hot.
Oh my God. Also an amazing actress. Her hair, I want her hair.
I love that look that she has. Like, the last time I saw her was, I think, Arrested Development.
So she was still
a kid and, like, had long hair.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I didn't care about her character.
She
but
was in a movie really I saw cool. called Green Room, where she was, like, in, like, a punk band that got, like... And it's like a neo-Nazi, like they like trap them in a green room, which is any performer's worst nightmare to be trapped in a green room, honey. Yes. Let me tell you. Unless it's no, never mind. There's not really a green room.
Unless it's what?
I was gonna say maybe like the Comedy Bar green room, but I'm like, no, that's dry
so
air.
So many things
dry
have
air.
Transpired in that green room.
Too many ghosts. Too many
ghosts.
There
are a lot of ghosts in there. A lot of stains too, I'm sure, many smelly
clothes.
A lot of smelly clothes. A lot of hiding spots.
Oh.
The amount of times.
Where are you hiding?
No, I'm not hiding anything, but the amount of times I've been like getting ready for a show and waiting in the green room and a random comic has come in and like punched a hole in the wall and been like, there's my weed, and like walked away.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
It's insane.
The Rolodex of comedians and I'm like, who that could be is actually long.
I'll tell you later. you know what I'll tell you now.
Yes, I was like, this whole time, I was like, I can't wait to hear what it's going to be. And I was so happy that it was that.
We have very special celebrity guests
honestly,
on the show today.
Like, people from the TV.
The TV. And on the internet.
And on the on streaming. And not just, not just in Canada, but in America.
Dare we say the U.S.?
The United States of America.
Oh my God.
Which they're having, let me tell you, America's kind of having a moment right now.
They're having a moment. Those girls are beating our ass. But I'll go so far as to say that these boys are also having a moment because they have a very popular, very good, very cool show that's on Paramount in the U.S. and on CBC Gem in Canada.
Truly. It's For Heaven's Sake. On Paramount Plus, CBC Gem, true crime, funny, kind of like Waiting for Guffman meets kind of Mindhunter meets kind of, oh my God, there's more.
What else is it?
Meets kind of, like the wholesomeness of
Murdoch, did you almost say Murdoch?
The wholesomeness of a Murdoch Mysteries meets Canada's history moment.
Yes.
Meets kind of beautiful. Nathan For You.
Love Nathan for you.
So much. It's truly, and like, I'm not even being silly right now. This is me being real. It's hilarious. Yes. And you should truly watch
it. But please, please give it up for Mike Milden and
Jackson Rowe.
Yay!
Yes!
Hi, guys.
Oh my God.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having us.
That was a wicked intro.
Oh, yeah. You don't know how hard it was to keep quiet during the tiny penis talk. Like, that was tough. Because I'm with you. Why are all the Greek statues tiny penis guys? Because they're all buff.
They're all huge. They're all massive hot. Men.
Yes. Yes.
There's always like a little bush.
There's
and
always.
The penis is just like poking out.
It's so it's and then sometimes they put a little fig leaf over it and the fig leaf looks massive. Like the fig leaf is like, it looks like a palm tree leaf. You're like, okay.
I think it's the best way to go. The tiny penis on the statues, chic, it's cute. I don't feel weird.
It's humble.
At it.
It's humble.
Truly. And I find there's beauty in all penis sizes for me. Truly. I haven't seen a penis I haven't liked. I'm going to say that right now. Actually, that's a lie. And I'm not, I can't.
Name names.
There was one D where the proportions of like shaft to head were a little jarring.
A mushroom cat.
It was a very mushroom.
Super thin shaft, big old head.
And which like optically can be fine, but then when maybe you're like, you're holding
it. You don't want it to get stuck. I don't know why I just did the accent.
I'm worried that it's going to get stuck and that we're going to have to live together forever.
I'm so happy this isn't like
you have to start a life together once
that's how people get gay married.
That's how you get gay.
Yeah. I heard that. Anyway, thanks so much for having us. Excited to talk. Blink 182.
Oh, you guys are the face of Apple. You were on the year though. Like,
we were
a big deal.
It was
it's crazy to be
it
honest.
Was huge for us. They paid us, I think, $1 million each.
I
for
think
that.
So. I think about that amount. It's all gone.
Bother checking. Just
oh,
assume it's
I blew it that amount. Day. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
I spend it all on
went to Uniqlo.
Mushroom cats.
Statue.
I was tripping on mushrooms this whole time.
Yes.
Oh my God. But yes, we are here to talk about Blink 182.
And I'm so excited because they ruled my fucking elementary career. Like, I don't know. You couldn't turn on like any channel without seeing them on TV for a while.
They were the hot band of the time.
Hot stuff.
Humongous. I have a really like, they were big right when I was hitting puberty. Mm-hmm. And like, the first the girl who was also like my sexual awakening was like such a punk girl, and she loved Blink. So it's like they just have huge. A special place in my heart.
Jackson, sure. Jackson, I am no therapist. I will never claim to be a therapist on this podcast or any podcast for that matter. But finding out that your sexual awakening was with a punk girl tells me so much about you.
A lot of comedy guys. Yes, also. It's a lot of comedy guys. Ask Alex Kalenko.
You know what you know what I think? Oh my God, I'm literally the iced coffee in me is coursing through my veins. But I do think it's because like people who are like, for lack of a better word, like alternative, like they kind of like are doing their own thing, but they're I assume straight man, and it's kind of like, but you still want to access like this kind of like otherness, you know what I mean? And this is not a critique. This is, I find this beautiful. And then like, there's an alternative girl that you're interested in. I feel like that is a way for like people to find another community, find another, like, what do I find attractive?
Alternative crush to comedian pipeline is real.
Yes. It's so real. And it's big and it's fast.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And it's huge.
And it controls your brain.
It does.
Like, I just remember being obsessed with this woman and like, cause it was the first time I even liked a girl at all. And like the first time you have a crush on somebody, it's just like, you think about them all the time. And it just, you don't even understand why it's so important to you.
Yeah, you can't shake it either. It's a really weird time for kids.
Truly. And you feel kind of crazy because you're like, okay, I'm literally an obsessive freak. Like,
Like, should I call them right now?
Right?
Like, no, no.
Should I leave a voicemail?
What what grade were you in? And Mike, we will be getting to you. We're going to psychoanalyze you in a second.
Oh, sorry.
No.
This is probably, this is grade 5, I want to say, and she was in grade 7. So she was already older and like cooler to begin with.
Yes. And then, that is always the older girls.
Older, especially at that age, like the jump from grade 5 to 7 is huge. Like you might as well be like, they might as well be in their 20s.
Yes, yes.
Truly.
I remember being grade 5 having a crush on like an 8th grader and being like, I hope he finds me sexy. Like,
okay.
I hope he finds me so cute. This fucking kid in grade 8 doesn't even know I exist.
But imagine the drama of like, if you were in grade 5 dating a grade 8, that would have been like,
oh my God.
Truly
the teachers
illegal.
Would have had to get involved.
They would have had to get involved. The principal, the two principals of those schools would have met. And that is that is crazy to think about. That's like modern day Romeo and Juliet.
That probably was the age difference, it was. Too.
Well, I will.
They were probably 12 and 14 when Shakespeare wrote that, and it was fine back then.
That is messed up.
Yeah, everyone was like, it's fine, it's normal.
Oh my man. God.
But yeah, let's get into Blink 182. Like, what about that band, like, attracted you to them initially?
Yeah, Mike,
like,
what was your journey?
Is this
your turn.
It's your turn. You freak.
I have a different relationship.
Okay.
It was, I guess, my brother is super cool. And he was like, he's super popular.
That's so sweet.
And so it was like almost like a shadowing thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever he liked, I liked.
Oh.
So Blink 182, like in the punk, he went through the whole punk phase. And I just remember being like, this is my thing now too.
Yeah.
That is so adorable to me. I'm upset. Was he here? Would he foster that behavior? Or was he like, get out of here, scamp?
He was, I don't know. He wore skinny jeans and he was like, wore like long, he was more like he got heavy into like the heavy metal.
Okay.
He went to mosh pits and stuff, and that's where I drew the line.
Right. Like, enough. Like, okay, I can't mosh.
I'm weak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a tiny boy. I can't throw. I can't go to these concerts.
How did he feel about you like copying him though? Did he even pay attention?
I don't. I can't, honestly, I can't even remember.
Yeah. How old was he? How old was he?
Been, like his whole like. Probably grade 6 to like grade 9 for him.
Okay. That's usually the time. Yeah. I started getting into like punk and like metal in grade 6. I don't know why. I think that's when the hormones start hitting and like the world starts being like an evil place. And you're like, I need to exercise this. I need to let this out. Do you guys have a favorite like album by Blink 182? Like, do you see their music as like projects, or do you kind of like just dabble in it like a few singles here and there?
Well, that's what I was gonna say, is that the timing makes sense to me because puberty was starting and that album was called Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
Yes.
And I was like, The first, when I figured out what that meant, like besides the obvious, I was like, oh my fucking God. Like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
This is so badass.
Yeah.
And like, so that album absolutely holds a place in my heart.
Oh my God.
Enema of the State is kind of their famous.
Truly.
That's their really like where they blew up from, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, I also feel sorry to cut you off, but it reminded me that when I was in grade 7, I think I illegally downloaded Enema of the State. And I was like, oh, they, this is a typo. And I changed it manually.
And I shut up.
There's like a better enemy of the state. I didn't know what an enema was.
Abba, that is the most Virgo thing I've ever heard in my life. That is so cute. And that just brings me back to the whole thing of like downloading music and like, you know when you would do like YouTube to MP3 player and you'd like find the album artwork and then you'd like crop it perfectly and you'd like you put in the name of the album and like you'd figure it, you got like the capitalization wrong and you'd be like, oh no, and you have to go back like to fix it.
I'd always Google the genre. I wanted the genre to be specific. Yes, like if it was punk and it was titled as like rock, I'd get mad and change it to punk. Like,
absolutely.
Real stickler.
We spent a majority of our childhood just organizing our iTunes.
Oh my God, I was obsessed with I wanted it to look so pretty. I would like scroll through like the album covers and like just like be I would be so happy. I'd be like, look at all of what I've collected.
Yes.
But Enema of the State, that is bottom visibility right there. And they didn't even know what they didn't even know it at the time, I think.
They didn't.
But they were literally being it was like radical bottom pride. And like only now can we really critique it.
Yeah.
Well, they also had a song that was like, I want to fuck your dad in the ass, too.
Okay.
Or I want to...
Yes. Something. Jackson, I was just saying, I was saying to Abba and Aiden off pod, but the lyrics for... I forgot what song it was because I did like a bit of a re-listen today for Enema of the State. And there's like those lyrics where it's like, I called... I called my girlfriend's mom, told them that her husband's in jail, because sodomy's illegal.
Sodomy's.
And then she's the bitch hung up on me.
Oh my God. Like, why were we listening to that as kids?
It's so good.
I had no idea what that meant.
I know, like, as a kid, I would, like, I don't even think those lyrics registered to me. Like, I think I just heard them as, like, cool words, and, like, that was it.
Yeah. But you know what song, like, I fully acknowledged was atrocious and loved so much? I really wanted to be a boy when I was younger. Like, I was super into these lyrics, but Family Reunion, I love that song so much. Shit, piss, cotton, cocksucker. I fucked your mom. What a horrible fucking song. I would never let my kids listen to that.
I don't think I ever listened. I listened. If I didn't get into swearing until like late, like grade nine, you guys.
You didn't get into swearing until grade nine? Okay, Jackson
That's me
and
too. That's me too.
Jackson and Mike, when did you guys get into swearing?
Yeah, when you get into swearing.
It's I want to say probably grade six, five or six.
So you're cool,
but I still don't swear around my parents or anything like that. Like I still maintain that illusion.
My mom always does the thing where she's like, "You never swear." James and Dad always swear, but you never swear. And it's the same thing with you, Ben. It was like grade 6 to 8. Everyone in the grade was starting to be like, "Fuck you," and then I would like stop myself. I don't know. I was a child of God. God wouldn't like that. That's a sin.
Oh. I'm just picturing like a circle outside of school and everyone's going around like, pussy, cock. And then it gets to Mike and you're like, come on, Mike, say it.
Can't get
and
it.
He just walks away.
I would feel so, it wasn't, and like, I mean, I didn't like grow up going to church, but like Catholicism just like looms over my family, I guess. And like, I just like, I would have felt so guilty. Like, I would have been... And I don't even know where that guilt was directed. I would just been like, I'm a bad kid. Like, I swear. Right. I swear now. What happened? Like, I'd truly be so sad with myself.
Just guilt for no reason.
Guilt
for the sake of guilt.
Mike, were you a child of the church?
It was a weird journey. Mm. It was a weird journey, I'm gonna be honest. Wow. It wasn't like a... It was one of those cool churches.
Okay.
Where,
okay.
like, they have a guitar and then they're like, there's like a band.
Yes.
And everyone's kind of... do it. It wasn't one that like a gospel one, so I fell into it pretty hard as well.
Yes,
I love that.
And then I don't know. It was honestly like a flip of a switch when I got to high school. Everything was just behind me. And I was just like, oh, maybe that's not my thing.
Yeah. No, yeah. I get it. Yeah. It's like
all my friends never had a journey like that. It feels like all the friends that I have now. We're like super heavy into church because it was like a cool church and like you could practice drums and guitar after school and shit like that. I was never into it because in grade 8, I think I got a Tumblr and there were all these like threads about like the church is bad. This is why Catholicism hates fucking gay people or whatever. And so I was heavy into that kind of stuff. But all my friends were like, no, my church gives us free snacks at the end of the day. Super into Christian music.
Yeah.
And then when I got to university, I was like, I'm so happy. I'm like, I'm away from that. I don't have friends like that anymore who are open to church. And then all the gay friends that I made had been former church kids. So I wonder what that pipeline's about.
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm not part of that pipeline. I honestly could have done with some church. I could have done with some church in my life. Honestly, I think I would have turned out better. But like, I think that's interesting because I think it's cool that you left you kind of like left it behind you after high school because it feels like maybe you were like, all you were after, Mike, was community all along.
Honestly,
truly,
you're onto something. There's this weird thing where I was hanging out with this group that wasn't popular, but they were, I don't know, like the hierarchy of school, but
just chill.
Just chill.
They were just like in the middle and we would do bad stuff. Like we were rebellious youth.
Like what?
Pranks.
Pranks? Like what would you do?
You know, like throw stuff at cars.
That's a crime.
The shitheads. Shithead kids.
My favorite type of prank.
We were the shitheads, yeah.
Yeah.
And as soon as I got out of that, I don't know, that group, it was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I was going to church to like combat the bad stuff we were doing. Okay. So I was like, I'm still a good person or something. I don't know what it was going through.
Very kind of like Tony Soprano of you.
Now I'm curious though. Do you guys feel like Blink 182 influenced you doing bad stuff?
Ooh, I love that. I love that question.
Yes,
it did.
It did.
At least for me, it was fun to be like listen to the, like you guys said it was bad music, right? Mm-hmm. Or not bad music, but like swearing and rebellious.
Rebellious. Yeah.
So it was like, I think that just kind of like the Jackasses and the like that stuff that influenced us to be a little more. Rambunctious.
Nice word. Good word. I don't know. For me, like I said, I was people that I liked it, but I never like it never really took hold of me personally.
Nice.
I was more like on the sidelines, like I'll listen, I'll wear the clothes, but like I'm not throwing anything at a car. Like,
you're not gonna be a bad boy.
I'm not gonna really be the bad boy. It's just not
you're
in
not
me,
gonna be so. Like a Mike throwing shit at cars.
I'm not
I was thinking okay. I was thinking about this today and it was the weirdest situation. So I remember we were at the park and basically what happened was there was a full group of kids and they started yelling at another group of kids from a different school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came over and they were like, what did you guys say? And then everything. And then they're like, well, I guess one of us has to fight one of them. And then they're like, Mike, you have to fight this guy, Matt. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Like, and then so like we just kept pushing each other and they're like, come on, fight. Like, and I was like, well, you have to throw the first hit because I really don't want to do this. I don't want to do this at all.
What happened? Did he throw it?
No. We just kept pushing each other. I was like, I honestly, it goes back to who I am today where I was just like, why are we fighting? Yes. He was like, you guys said you're making fun of us. And I was like, I wasn't. I don't know what they were saying. Like, I don't know why I'm responsible for this entire group behind me.
Yes.
Literally.
Get me out of the herd and then I'll collapse. Like, I don't really. Yeah.
Oh my God.
One on one, I'm a no thank you.
I have anxiety to this day of just thinking about Matt.
So that moment.
And like seeing him throughout high school is like, do we not like each other anymore? Because we almost fought because.
Oh my God, that's wild. So you knew, you like had to see him for years after that.
Well, just like, you know, the Bush parties and all that, like how that stuff.
Oh my God.
That was weird. It was weird.
That is so scary.
That's such an elementary school, high school thing. Like I remember in grade 9, this girl who was genuinely my friend, I had passively told her to like, shut up. Like she said something, we were all joking and she said something stupid and I was kind of like, ha, girl, shut up. Like that's so stupid or whatever. Yeah. Just like in jest. And then after school, I remember she pushed me into a locker and I turned around and pushed her back and she was like, you called me stupid. Whoa. Like she was just looking for street cred. She was looking to be like the bad bitch of the school, like who wasn't gonna take any shit. And I just started laughing at her. I was like, I'll say her name. I was like, Blessing, what's going on? Her name was Blessing, can you believe? I was like, Blessing, why are we fighting? Like, girl, what's your problem? We were just kikiing and joking in first period. What's happening?
That's
and
a power
like,
move.
Don't ever tell me to shut up again, and left, and then was like my friend the next day. It was ridiculous.
That is such like kid stuff is like getting like yes. so mad. Like, yes. be like, we are like, you are not invited to my birthday party. And then the next day being like,
oh my God,
want to hang at recess? Like, it's truly, yeah. oh my God. I was.
And that's why we respond to Blink.
Yeah, exactly.
They're angry.
Truly, like, it's like, yeah. it's kids are so, and I've worked, Ab and I both have worked with kids for many, mm-hmm. many years. And you see, like, the fights, like, you'll kind of, like, observe, like, the buildup of tension between, like yes. certain boys in the room. And you're like, this all started because, like, you're fighting over a chair that everybody likes yeah. to sit at snack. Like, that's literally yes. where it comes from. And the idea, like, Mike, what happened to you as a child literally made me sick to my stomach because, like, that was my nightmare as a kid to get into a fight. Like, I remember literally being like, if I could avoid this all my childhood, I will die happy. Like, that's all I want. Mm-hmm. That's all I want from my life is to avoid
to never that type have of to conflict. Fight.
And, like, the fact that you were, like, picked by a group, that is, like, my nightmare. That is mm-hmm. truly my nightmare because then you have an audience of people being like, you have to do it, and, like, you can't let them down.
You can't let them down. You can't let down the audience.
Oh, my God.
You can't. We're performers, honey. We got to get that. Ugh. We got to get that well, reaction.
But that's why I feel like listening to Blink 182 was really good for me in some respects as a kid. Because I could just, like, I could listen to the music and, like, zone out and, like, be violent to the music. Yeah. And then I wouldn't have to do it, like, outside of my room. Like, I wouldn't. It was cathartic. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Literally. Yeah. Just let them be the angry ones
exactly,
for you.
Exactly, exactly. That way you don't get in trouble.
Would you headbang?
We're all so afraid headbang? Of getting in trouble. It's hilarious.
What was that?
Yeah, did you guys headbang?
No, like I know Mike said, I'm the same way, where it's like, I was into the culture from a sideline, yes. but like as soon as I went to like a concert or whatever, I realized I'm not cut out for this. I'm yeah. not a headbanger, I'm not a mosh pit guy. Yeah. I would like do some air guitar maybe in the back. I don't know. That's about as far as I can do.
Do you want to hear? Do you guys want to hear something shocking about me?
Okay, go.
And Abba knows this already, but when I was in high school, I was a mosh pit girl.
Oh yeah.
And I know.
Okay.
I know. We're talking because I've changed. I've grown. But like, because I was like inundated with like that type of behavior, I guess. So like, mm-hmm. it was like all my friends were just like we would like get drunk. Go to Kensington, go to like some student band, whatever, in a basement. That's like, we all have X's on our hands because we're underage, but we're mm-hmm. like getting wasted in the alleyway and then like moshing. And it's like, when it's all like your friends from school, it's kind of like fun and lighthearted. Like, you're not mm-hmm, gonna mm-hmm. like actually hurt someone or yourself.
Yes.
But then I
yes.
remember like getting a bit older, like 17, 18, and kind of like what you guys are saying, going to like, I don't know, more adult shows and then seeing yes. like, grown-ass men with like the legit mohawks, like the spiky yeah. with huge spacers mm-hmm. like throwing elbows at me, being like, oh nah. no honey, like no. I cannot do that, like I am but a wee girl. And like
when they do that thing where they push people apart, oh. like, everyone spread out and then at once they
oh die. I can't. Literally, I know I twisted. Could never ever mosh because I went to a Vince Staples concert and I didn't check who the opener was. It was JPEG Mafia. And I okay. like JPEG Mafia's music, but this fucking mosh pit started immediately. Like, yeah. as soon as he touched the stage, people started moshing. And at this point, I was 23 and was a bunch of 17-year-olds. Okay. And I was like, and I'm also, the last time I was at a Vince concert, someone like gingerly placed their hand on my head, probably thinking that I was their friend. And I wanted to fight.
Yeah.
Like, if that's me in like an accidental situation, I don't know what the fuck I'm going to be like in a mosh pit. So
oh my God.
I hate those things.
I would get so mad if somebody did that to me.
But I'm curious to know, like, I feel like MTV and all the bands that I was listening to, they influenced the way I dressed, the way I talked, literally the way I did anything. Do you guys feel like Blink 182 had that type of influence on you? Other than, of course, like being on the sideline and kind of like
throwing rocks at cars.
It did. Oh, no, definitely. Like, I wanted to be a part of it, so mm-hmm. I would dress that way. I would sort of put that persona on mm-hmm. and act that way.
How did they even dress? Like, I remember the punk,
cargo
the
pop, pants.
Like, cargo look. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever dressed like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys had a phase at your school, but American Eagle polos.
Yes.
That were a huge thing for guys.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
And yeah. now looking back. Yeah. We used to go to the thing. This is not related to.
That's fine.
But like at all, but it, we used to go to a place called the Hot Spot.
Oh my already god! What?
Where is that?
Is this Degrassi?
I know this is like a truly Degrassi.
This is crazy thinking back at it, but we used to go like all these grade sixes used to go to like this little little event center or something, mm-hmm. and we would all dance to music, and it was very like for grade sixes sexual
grinding,
and like slow dancing, American Eagle polos, and there's a one in Newmarket. Yeah. Called the Cyber Zone, which was even bigger, mm-hmm. and same thing. It was crazy, and I'm just thinking about like who was running this place and letting these kids come in. And
is this like an all ages club situation?
Yeah. I was gonna say, do you guys remember the first time you like saw your friends grinding?
Yes.
Like, I remember there being the first time I saw a giant train, like a grind train of like 10 plus people.
Whoa, whoa,
like,
okay. I've never seen a grind.
You've never seen a grind train?
No, that sounds. Oh. That's literally. I'm not kidding to you. Like, that sounds like Stephen King level, like Pet Cemetery perverted to me. Like that is.
It is.
This is shocking. What on earth? 10 people?
So girl, like a girl at the front, then a guy would grind with her, and then a girl would have to get behind that guy.
Yeah.
I'm
weeping.
And then, so she's kind of grinding with him.
Yes.
But it's just about waiting for that next guy to come behind
her. Exactly. And it was such a thing. Craziness. And like, I grew up in Brampton, so there's like a big Jamaican culture and presence, and it was just bubbling. Like, if a guy asked you to bubble, like, you'd go to the corner in your friend's basement or whatever, or at the fucking school function, and you'd bubble. And I remember at school, like, functions, the teachers would be on the lookout, and if they saw somebody bubbling, they'd blow the whistle and be like, stop bubbling! Stop bubbling!
That
oh my god.
Is everything. That adds to the taboo nature of it. That's like probably like you want to get caught at that point.
Exactly.
Would you get and you imagine all the street imagine all the cred you'd get for like getting kicked out for bubbling?
Oh my god. I never bubbled at school, but I bubbled at like at home parties and stuff like that.
At the functions.
At the functions, yeah.
But
that's my memory of like the stuff Mike's talking about of like just overly sexualized when you're very young and not really understanding why, mm-hmm. but just like seeing people doing it and being like, I want to do that too.
Being like, adults do it. Yeah, I want to be
adults
grown.
Do it.
Yeah.
This is exactly. Where I'm glad we're like, I was like, yes, as a kid, I was in the closet, but I'm glad I wasn't like super in the closet where I felt the need to like feign bubbling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that I like had enough self-respect as a kid to be like, I know eventually, like, I don't want to have this on me that I bubble. And the option to bubble with another boy would have been, I mean, scandalous.
That would have been groundbreaking.
That would have been I would have been on like CTV News.
Truly. Gay boy bubbles with other gay boy.
It would be front page news.
There's this gay grind train where one person starts it and then they're like, oh, they're doing it. And then like another guy goes
just men.
Oh my God.
There's a line of men grinding. Oh my God. What we need in the world.
That is beautiful.
Oh my God.
And if there are any children listening, let me know if that happens these days.
It still does.
It is funny though, that like, thinking about Blink-182, it's all sort of cringy puberty memories. Yes, that's really what
literally.
It is.
Yes, that music does like, and it's so, the sound like truly does like reflect like how I thought at the time. Just kind of like whiny, like confusing emotions. Like it really.
Where are you?
I'm so sorry.
I still listen to that song when I shower.
Yes. Oh my God. Does it pump you up?
I don't know. I always wait for that moment where Tom DeLonge comes in. He's just like.
Yeah, that's
oh my God.
Wasn't that such a funny phenomenon though, like punk bands kind of like having like a really slow sweet like ballad on the album?
Yeah, you're right. Totally.
Are there any other like Blink-182 slower songs that are really emotional that you still listen to today?
I love Blink-182. I've seen them twice.
Way.
Okay. Tell us everything.
I saw them for their reunion tour in 2011.
Oh, my God.
And Tom DeLonge came back.
Uh-huh.
And then they just had a recent one right before COVID where Simple Plan opened up for them. So it was like this like nostalgic trip where Perfect was playing.
Shut up.
Hey, Dad, look at me.
Oh, my God.
Sit down and
talk to me. But yeah, so
That's great.
Where was I going with that? They have a recent album that they released their newer stuff without Tom. Mm-hmm. There's one called California.
Okay.
And it's actually a good song.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
But
I remember Down was a song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gonna be so down, down, down.
Oh!
Down. That was like, oh, this is range. They're showing emotional range right now.
Yeah. It's a type of song where you're like, it kind of like elevates all the other songs on the album. You're like, well, see, yeah. Like they're capable of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually why they broke up. That's fun fact is like the Tom DeLonge wanted to get more sincere and he wanted to get like more real about the music. Mm-hmm. And then the other guys were like, no, we have to stick with like the punk jokey.
Yeah.
And then he was like, but UFOs. Then,
oh yeah. He's obsessed with UFOs. Yes. IRL.
Obsessed.
He exposed some stuff apparently like last year.
He's always exposing stuff. Yeah. He's always out there.
I admire that consistency though.
Oh man. Yeah. You know what's so funny? As a teenager and still even kind of now, I thought that All the Small Things was like a really beautiful love song. Like it's really beautiful. Yeah. It like work sucks, I know. She left me flowers by the stairs just to show how much you care. Yeah. That's so sweet. The little things you need to do in a relationship to keep it alive. I don't know. I took all those lyrics to heart and I live by them now.
That song came on like randomly on like a shuffle or a playlist, I'd be happy. Like that's a song that like to this day I'm like that's like nostalgia. That's like peak nostalgia. Will put me in a good mood anytime. Jackson, have you ever seen Blink-182 live or no?
Mm-hmm.
No. Seen Our Lady Peace, Sum 41,
yes.
Pretty much all the surrounding bands, but never Blink.
Mm-hmm. I listened to your episode with Nick Nemiroff. Mm-hmm. Sum 41.
Very Nick Nemiroff.
He made his.
Them being
Canadian. Oh my god! You should actually be thinking Nick Nemiroff because he came before you as he was the first straight man to ever come on the pod.
First straight man.
Look at where we are today. We have two. So Nick Nemiroff really broke ground today.
He busted the doors open.
Our guests are excited. Okay, Mike. Seeing Blink-182 live. So you saw the reunion. Yeah. What was the concert you saw before the reunion?
The reunion was...
Okay, gotcha.
Because Tom DeLonge came back and they like they weren't talking. Then they came back and they're like, maybe we should do a tour again.
Oh, my God.
So they did the reunion tour. Mm-hmm. And the next one was with...
Basically
Tom DeLonge.
And did you have the time of
your
missed
life. Them in their prime. You only saw them as the comeback.
Yeah. Travis Barker went upside down and it was like... I've heard about this.
Yeah. Oh my god!
Wait, how did he do that?
I think everything was glued.
Yeah, glued?
I think everything was glued,
including him. He's glued to the chair.
Yeah, I remember hearing like legendary stories of him like always playing double bass solos with a broken leg and he's fucking flipping upside down. Yeah. He's like,
oh my god. Playing the drums looks satanic to me.
Like what when you're at a concert, there's this. What person are you? Because I always went with a friend that would keep his hands in his pockets and just like go
vibes.
Like this.
Yeah.
I love that.
And then I would always be that like on one knee or like and like bump it.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would like throw my hands up, but I don't know.
Oh my god.
The etiquette, really.
It's been a journey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trying to find
it all comes down to like how well you know the band for me because I'm a sing-along guy for sure, but if I don't really know then I just vibe as best.
Jackson, that's
I'm very much sing-along. I want to be in the front. I want them to look at me and see me and I want them to stop the music and go, hey, this is our biggest fan, like that's my concert.
Wait a minute, you know the song as well as I do, why don't you
sing it?
Solange is like, wait, stop the music. But wait, here's the thing, Jackson. What you said actually was beautiful, because it really. Because if I'm at a concert where I kind of know the band, like maybe there's one album I really like, but like the people I'm with are really into it, I feel the need to like match their energy, because like I don't want to be like the one person's kind of like looking around. But when I don't know, I feel like people are watching me and be like, he doesn't know. He doesn't know the band.
He doesn't know.
I can tell.
He's
not a real fan.
His beat's off. He doesn't know the words. I'm like, I always feel that kind of energy, which is like why when I'm at a concert where I like really know the band, I like to go off and I'm just like twirling. I'd like to eat a little bit of an edible before. But also with like kind of more chill music, it's kind of hard to like when I saw like I don't know, Blood Orange, for instance, that music is a little bit more chill, and there are points where like I'm like, do I dance or am I just here to like observe and like really just vibe? I don't know.
My favorite type of person that goes to like a Blood Orange show or like shit that's like very lo-fi and chill is the guy who's right up at the front and kind of just rests his head on the stage and just listening. Oh, I'm like, you came here to just listen? You don't want to look at them?
That
I think
is
so fucking funny.
There's something like very Buddhist about that.
It's very...
Yeah. That's like a certain type of concert going.
Yes.
They're very specific. They have intentions.
He has like blinders
on. They got
on
there early. They got there before anybody else. Yeah. Exactly what they wanted.
Yeah.
Feeling the vibrations from the speakers, just like,
he wants
absorbing
to feel
it
in his body.
But my one thing about concerts is they're actually
the people
too
that.
Loud.
Yeah,
they
oh,
are.
Yeah.
There are. There are sometimes where I'm literally
a
like,
lot of concerts
if this was like
loud.
A little bit quieter, I'd be in heaven.
They're too loud.
It's so true.
You old man.
But you're you can't say that. You know, you're such a you're just such a party pooper
yes,
if you say that.
Yes.
But it's the truth. Like, we don't need it up to be up to 11 right now. Like. A solid 9.5 would be fine.
Yes,
truly.
Yes. I'm just imagining you at a concert, like, ow, no, ouchie, my ear.
Well, because, like, I have, you know how, like, on, if you're an Apple phone owner, you have the health app, and I learned that I listen to stuff too loud, and that they literally, they have, like, a range, and I am in the red zone. They are literally, like, alert. Like,
I need to look at that, too.
It's scary. It's scary.
It's scary.
It really is. And they also tell you how much sleep you're getting, and it's like, okay. And then they're like,
it's like, I don't want to know that.
And also, screen time. Don't get me started.
Oh, don't even start.
Yeah. It's like, mind your own business, bitch.
I bought you.
Exactly.
I paid for you.
But I kind of want to take a second to talk about your show.
Yes.
Like, tell us about the show.
Please.
Like, everything, like, from its conception to, like, talking with, like, studio execs.
It's a really cool story.
Yeah.
It was a wild ride. To actually get it made was making it. Every part of the process was pretty wild. But
that's it. That's all we're going to say. Travis, it was wild. It was really wild.
Yeah.
No, we did it. We basically did the whole pitching circuit where you go into like Netflix, HBO Max. Mm-hmm. Like we got to go to all these offices. And Jax and I, it was our first time, so we didn't shy away from like taking water bottles and taking like
taking
any
photos with stuff.
Any, like, yeah. Any memorabilia we could keep.
I don't know when I'll be back here. I'm fucking.
Yes.
I'm enjoying
you
myself.
You take like a potted plant from the foyer?
Well, we went to, what's funny is we went to Quibi too.
Oh,
like
Quibi.
When Quibi was a thing. And that was one of the like places they're like, Quibi's like buying a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. So like they very well could buy this. So like, let's be ready for the Quibi pitch.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And we went in and they had nice offices. And I'm like, how is this? This doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's like a huge thing already.
It's wild.
And then watching it come and go like in the blink of an eye was crazy.
Quibi was like, quick, you have 10 minutes for your pitch. Okay, I'm hilarious. I'm a joke writer. But
you actually had to format the pitch. Like they were like, for Quibi, this is 10-minute episodes, 10 episodes. And we're like, yeah.
Okay. Of course, yeah. We've planned for it.
That's actually how we wanted it to look, actually, for sure.
Yeah.
Really only want people watching us on a phone on the subway. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Quibi acting like that's like normal. That's like a thing people would want.
Like that people want to watch a long infomercial that's just very narrative. Like, I don't know.
So bizarre, right?
But Mike, this is truly your family story.
Yeah.
So the documentary is... about my great-great uncle who disappeared in 1934. Mm-hmm. And it's a real true crime or disappearance that happened in our family.
Wow.
And then the comedy aspect is Jax and I are not the most qualified detectives, but we go back 87 years later and we try and actually figure it out. And we surprise people with our detectives.
There are twists.
Yeah. I like that.
It was awesome. Super fun. Super like, cause we're just big fans of true crime. So, mm-hmm. We wanted to see if we could actually make our own version of one, mm-hmm. but we knew that like we weren't gonna, we had to be ourselves if we were doing it. So it's basically just a true crime through the lens of a comedian, and it was like a totally incredible experience. And since it's come out, it's been awesome to see people enjoying it and stuff. So
that's amazing.
It's really really cool.
Aww.
Yeah,
I love
it. And I remember the pitch, Jackson. We had to sell ourselves as well as the mm-hmm. show, and just that one part where it's just like. Mike is the high-strung guy, like, hard-boiled detective who loves his facts, where Jackson, he mellows things
he's
out.
He's a little more laid back, and he's not afraid to ask the tough questions and stuff like that. We had to, like, make this whole song and dance of, like, mm-hmm. exactly what are you going to get? What is this show like? Mm-hmm. How long is it going to be? Like, it was crazy because we pitched CBC first. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, we just went into the room and kind of talked to them about it. Mike told the story and we explained our ideas mm-hmm. and they were into it. And then when we took it to the States, it was like, yeah, that's not going to fly here. We're doing, you have to write it. We wrote a 45-minute script of what we're going to say every single time.
Wow.
With like little bits to throw it back and forth to each other. Mm-hmm. And like all this fake in the moment stuff, but it worked.
Oh my God. What was some of the fake in the moment stuff? I'm dying to know.
Yeah.
Okay, so my favorite one is we're like introducing the characters of who's in Mike's family, and he's like, and here's my mom. He clicks and like his mom comes on the screen, and then I'm in the back. I'm like,
oh yes. Did it kill?
And it worked every time. Every time.
Huge laugh.
People always turn. They're like,
that is, I'm obsessed.
So stuff like that.
Well, both of you are very funny together just naturally. So I'm not surprised.
Oh, thank you.
But that is so, oh my God. I love the idea of you two being like, Mike's this, Jackson's this. Like, I have a beard. Yeah. Mike's more clean shaven.
I had a mustache. I had a mustache. We had a joke. We had a in the moment joke like written, but it was like, can you guys see it? Can you guys see it? It was so, and the people that ended up buying it, CBS. I remember the first time we pitched him. He's like, I actually can't.
Can't see it. No, you have one? Like, you're not kidding.
Oh, my God.
That's so rude.
What was the worst? Well, I feel like I can ask this because your show's a huge success. But what was the worst? Like, what was the worst meeting?
Mm-hmm. Comedy Central?
Yeah, Comedy Central.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. They just knew right away that, like, this wasn't going to work for them, I think.
Okay.
And I think we all kind of saw it because we had done, I don't know, 4 or 5 meetings up until that point. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time because Funny or Die is a producer on it too. Mm-hmm. And this was the first meeting that the head of Funny or Die came with us because he's like, it's a big one, so mm-hmm. we'll have all the guns there for you. Mm-hmm. And we could tell like 10 minutes in that like they were checking their phones and like, checking their watches. And we're like, we have another 40 minutes to go. Yeah, this is not going to go well.
It's the same energy we have to pitch at. Like, we have to pitch at them. It's just, you're throwing
yeah.
spaghetti at a wall and nothing.
Yeah,
Jackson
yeah.
keeps whistling. He's like, woo, woo. He's like, I can't whistle. Like,
the mom. Yeah.
Oh my
like, yeah,
God.
Yeah. We got it. But it wasn't bad. Like nothing mm-hmm. really bad happened. We could just tell from pretty early on that
they weren't
matching the energy that we expected.
And they were looking at us the entire pitch, just like, we could never do
that. Oh, yeah. I hate that. I hate like being in meetings where you're pitching something and they're looking at you like, uh-huh, in your fucking wildest dreams. You can't let the energy like crash, though, or else they take it as like an offense.
And then on the other hand, like we also pitched the Discovery Channel.
Oh, no
who
way.
Like knew, basically, we knew from the jump, too, that they weren't going to buy it. Yeah. But the guy was so invested.
Mm.
He was like, it was still a great meeting because the guy was like asking questions and like, really invested, but
that's
we knew that
nice.
He wasn't going to buy it. So there's both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
They're supposed to like let you do your pitch, but he was always like, wait, where did he go? we're getting into that. Like,
he's
like, it could have been the road workers. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's a theory.
We're going to get there.
We're going to get there.
And he's like, wait, and this is your family? He's like, absolutely, yeah.
I love that so much. Just over enthusiastic to see both sides of the spectrum like that. Yeah. I guess it's good practice too. Like, you know, you're probably going to have another show that you're going to want to pitch one day, and you already know what all sides of the spectrum are like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amazing experience. Mm-hmm. I think that's invaluable too, is like actually having been in the rooms and seeing what it's like.
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Nice.
Getting to go to the headquarters.
Yeah.
The belly of the beast.
Like having enough people actually listen to your ideas and at least feign interest for the most part it's cool.
Yes. Netflix, like, they barely let you get past the door.
No.
There's like a boardroom right, like as you walk in. And they're like, all right, let's hear it. Let's go.
God.
We got the Obamas here. You guys are not worth our time.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's like one of those samurai movies where, like, each room, you have to, like, kill someone to get past to the next room. That's what
you have to impress this exec to get to the next room.
Yes. Yeah. And then the bosses. I don't know who the head of Netflix is.
The final boss.
The final boss.
Yeah. Well, that was what happened at HBO is we had the first meeting went really well, and they brought us back for a second with the boss.
Whoa.
And the boss was like, just not feeling
it.
And like we could see the people surrounding her were like looking at her like hoping that she would react, and she was just like, What if it was more like this? What if we did this? And we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Thanks anyway.
Yeah.
I love that.
What if it was Jackson with the mustache? Huh? I don't know. I'm seeing dollar signs. Yeah. I mean, well.
That's their big note.
Well, it was her loss because guess what? Paramount Plus is the moment. Okay.
That's exactly. Right.
CBC exactly. Gem is also the moment. Okay.
The sizzle reel was cut to What's My Age Again?
Oh, yeah. That was such a great song. I really fucking love that song. And especially because, like, as an 11-year-old, I always thought it was so funny because I was like, I'm only 11 or however fucking old I was at that time. Anyways, I'm curious. Were you guys, like, musical growing up? Like, did you like playing music, instruments? Were you into that?
I was forced to.
Forced to? Like, why?
Made me take piano lessons and I hated it.
Okay.
And instead of letting me quit, she was like, okay, you can take guitar lessons instead. I was like, I don't want to do any of this. And so I was like the most miserable kid every once a week. And these lessons. And the teacher was like, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not good. I don't enjoy it, but I'm forced to be here. Mm-hmm. And then in grade 9 band, I played the tuba. Because I was the big guy, and they're like, big guy, big instrument.
Always tuba, yeah.
And I was just like, this is a nightmare. So, but now, you know, being an adult, I wish I did like it because it's such an amazing skill to have. But yeah. I just couldn't.
Can I say something? Is it though? Is it really?
Because
I'm going to say something. Sometimes when people tell me that they play an instrument, I get filled with a sense of dread because I'm like, do I have to ask if I want to hear them perform?
Are they going to play it right now?
I know.
Yeah.
I forget something. I'm like, I'm glad you guys.
Anyway, here's Wonderwall. Yeah,
did you have to carry around a tuba like all day throughout school?
No, but like if I, we were forced to take it home to practice sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'd be on the streetcar like with a tuba.
Just tuba, like
absolute loser. Just hating my life.
Wait, what school did you go to? Were you a city girl?
Malvern.
You're CI. A beaches girl? Jackson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Through and through.
Okay.
My parents still live there.
Beaches girl.
And, Mike, you're Newmarket, you said, or?
Yeah, Aurora.
Oh, okay, nice.
Aurora girl.
Most of my life.
Did you play any musical instruments?
Yeah.
I am the least musically talented person. Like, I have no rhythm.
Oh.
I was in the chorus line, and then I had that song, Mark's Role, and he sings, like, gonorrhea, I had gonorrhea.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to cut the musical part. They turned it into a monologue because I couldn't even
sing. Oh, no.
But I did what Jackson did as well. Guitar.
Okay.
And I, same thing. Like, he taught me Smoke on the Water, and that was, like, it. Mm. Like, that's all I could learn was, like, dang, dang, dang. And I couldn't do chords. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard instruments to learn.
Oh, it's super hard.
Guitar seems hard.
And it's, like... I'm somebody who, if I don't take to something quickly, it takes a lot for me to stick with it. So that was just not going to happen.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't like doing any. I don't like doing.
But to Ben's point from earlier, my girlfriend in high school played guitar, and she was like the queen of like, let me just break it out and strum something. And like I'd be like alone with her, and she'd play like 9 songs, and I just have to like look at her and be like, "This is you're so amazing," and it was awful. I hated it.
No,
hated it.
That's my biggest fear. Yeah. Oh my god, my biggest fear. It came true last summer or 2 summers ago, where like I'm so afraid that like some guy will like sit me down and like sing a love song to me. I really don't like the idea of that. But somebody sent me a song that they had written, and I was
the
floored.
Song is so...
No one should ever play music, I think. No, I think that if you want to be a musician, you should grow up in like a completely different like island from everyone else.
I agree.
Figure it out and then hit the
pop
charts.
You only get released if you're actually good.
Yeah, exactly.
If you suck, you have to stay on the
island.
Singing
is so embarrassing to me. Like when people sometimes when people sing, I'm kind of like, okay, stop. Like enough.
When it's earnest.
Nothing funnier than like going to karaoke and there's that one person who's like actually pretty good and like needs you to know it.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I'm gonna sing this ballad from this 1975. And you're like,
I'm not gonna lie, sing something
that we can fucking ignore you to. Like, no, I'm gonna be known.
Oh my God.
I very much am that person.
But Abba, you actually have a beautiful voice. That's the difference.
No, it's annoying. It doesn't matter what your voice sounds like. Like if you go to karaoke, everyone should just agree to sound bad. It's just for
karaoke's
the fun
not the spot to sound good.
Les Mis, I feel like that's the song that everyone sings.
Oh yeah,
karaoke
definitely.
Oh my god!
I have such a vivid memory of being at a party and someone brought out a guitar And the girl did exactly what you were talking about, where she was even singing like, "This is a C chord.
Oh,
like,
no.
Match me up here."
Like tuning. Oh,
no.
That is literally a choir teacher. Like,
oh, no.
"This is a C chord. Match me up here. I'd rather kill myself." Oh, my God.
That's so upsetting.
Let me hear it. "When I play this, you say." Oh, my God.
No one wants that at a party. No one wants to fucking sing a song. Oh, my God. Unless you're really drunk.
She did the same thing you're talking about, where no one was, it was like six people there, and she wanted to sing every single karaoke song. And it got to the point where people left the room, but she was still singing.
No.
It was like Adele, Hello, and stuff. Like, difficult songs.
You know what I'm just remembering is that when my girlfriend would like play for too long, she'd be like, "What should I play?" And I would just request like songs I knew she couldn't play, and then be like, "Oh, I guess you can't."
That's it. That is a great.
What if you played? Yeah.
You're like, "Can you play Bach or something? Perhaps Mozart."
She's like, "Oh, I actually don't know that." I'm like, "Well, I guess we're done here. Moving on."
Oh my god, that's so funny. No, that's really poor karaoke etiquette. Like, you have to support everyone else while they sing and clap along. Choose only a few songs. Like, that's really fucking annoying.
And pick like fun songs that everyone can like have fun to. Like, pick like Avril Lavigne. Pick like Fergie. Like, no one needs like a epic vocalist of a song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Pick Blink-182.
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 Literally.
We're kind of getting to the end here. I'm curious to know if you guys, like, do you have hope for Blink-182? Do you think they'll ever do, like, a final reunion tour and just, like, put it to rest? Will Tom DeLonge ever actually find a real alien? Like, what do you see for the future?
I did a bunch of research, hours and hours leading up to this podcast because we're such big fans. but basically, they tried to do that with the reunion tour, and they were going to put out another album.
Mm-hmm.
But the same creative differences happened, and Tom DeLonge has Angels and Airwaves.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
Which is like his, "Let's talk about UFOs and do my deep songs."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Blink-182 is there. There's like two journeys, right? It's like Blink-182 is like, "Hey, we're just going to prey on your nostalgia and make every song sound like Enema of the State."
Mm-hmm.
And then Tom DeLonge's like, "I'm going to find life out there."
So I guess not then. I guess it's unlikely that they will ever read.
I don't think they will. They found like a Tom DeLonge sound alike.
And he
just doesn't have it, you know.
He doesn't have the star power. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh,
and Tom DeLonge's puffed out.
Oh, is he's fat and like?
He's just not a bad. He's just like he looks so funny.
Like alcoholic.
Alcoholic puffiness. Yeah.
I don't know what he looks like.
Bam Margera puff out. Like,
oh, Bam Margera puff. Yeah.
Oh man, no, Bam. Oh, Bam.
How sad is that? Yeah.
Super sad.
But I don't think so. I mean, they did it. They're not going to outdo themselves.
No.
We have all your albums. You do not need to come back.
That's true. I don't want them to.
No, they shouldn't.
Yeah.
They're probably making bank off royalties and Spotify plays.
Yeah.
Unless, with one exception. If they ever reboot the American Pie franchise, then they can come back. Because those two go together perfect.
They'll probably write like an original song for that movie that will go viral.
They will. It'll be good. Oh, of course they will.
American Pie. American
Pie. Okay, or maybe they if they have kids and their kids become like that age, college age, then they could write like, "I can't believe I'm a dad now."
Oh my god.
Where did my kid go?
You know what I hope for them though? I hope they have like one final project that's kind of just like a documentary. And it's like an earnest documentary, and they all come together, and then that's it. We never hear from them.
Black and white. It's in black and white.
It's like a Parent Trap documentary where you like lock them in the same room and you're like, "Figure it out."
Figure it out. Exactly.
That would be gorgeous.
Just hash it out.
That's your next project.
Ooh.
Bring the boys back together.
Bring the boys back together.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea.
We go undercover as like alien enthusiasts. We actually, I tweeted at Tom DeLonge because we did a whole alien theory in the documentary that got cut. And I tweeted at Tom DeLonge and Dan Aykroyd because they're both big alien guys. Yes. And I was like, "Hey, do you guys want to be in a documentary?" No response.
Oh my God.
I love it. So where can we find you? Where can we check out your project? Like, and what do you guys have coming up?
Sure. The show is called For Heaven's Sake. Mm-hmm. It's on CBC Gem in Canada, Paramount Plus in the States. Nice. And yeah, that's definitely what we want to promote. Just, I love that. If you have time, if you like true crime, if you like comedy, check it out. It's our life's work. 2 years of our life, but still, it counts. I guess, I don't know, follow me on Instagram.
Yeah. What's your at?
Jerkson Row. Jackson Row was taken, so Jerkson Row.
Funny.
Mike Milden, and please just watch the show, and I wish you guys the most success. I think your podcast is going to be huge.
Stop. That's crazy.
I'm a huge fan.
No.
That is very nice. Oh my God. Thank you so much. That is so sweet. We really appreciate hearing that. That's very kind.
We really do. And thank you for coming on, talking about, for heaven's sake, talking about Blink-182 being just gorgeous. Gorgeous on this day.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
This is way too much fun.
Yeah, this was a great time.
I'm so happy you guys had fun. We had fun.
And leave us a rating and review.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget to subscribe and comment, even if you don't like it. Comment so we can fight you.
Comment so we can fight. Oh my God, what are we welcoming, Ava?
What are we? No, I'm just kidding.
No, of course not.
Only nice words, please.
Only nice words, and truly, just if you leave a 5-star review, you don't know what that does for us. It literally. Yes. Sometimes on some days, it's life or death.
You don't know what it does for Ben specifically. He has a vibrator that's hooked up to every time someone gives us a 5-star rating.
The vibrator's inside of me. Okay, and I'm aware of it at all.
Mushroom cap.
Mushroom cap.
It's a mushroom cap.
It's a mushroom cup.
And that's called, that's a callback. And that was an expert lesson in comedy from two masters of comedy, I must say.
Improv.
Yeah, I mean it.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah. All right, I guess we'll say bye.
Bye. Been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
Has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.